Genesis 28 and verse 10. And Jacob went out from Beersheba and went towards Haran. And he lighted on a certain place and lodged there, because the sun had set. And he took one of the stones of the place and made it his pillow, and lay down in that place. And he dreamed, and behold, a ladder was set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to the heavens. And behold, angels of God ascended and descended upon it. And behold, Jehovah stood above it. And he said, I am Jehovah, the God of Abraham, thy father, and the God of Isaac. The land on which thou liest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed. And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad to the west, and to the east, and to the north, and to the south. And in thee and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And behold, I am with thee, and will keep thee in all the places to which thou goest, and will bring thee again into this land, for I will not leave thee until I have done what I have spoken to thee of. And Jacob awoke from his sleep and said, surely Jehovah is in this place, and I knew it not. And he was afraid and said, how dreadful is this place! This is none other but the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. And Jacob rose early in the morning and took the stone that he had made his pillow and set it up for a pillar and poured oil on the top of it. And he called the name of that place Bethel. And then in the epistle to Timothy, first epistle to Timothy, chapter 3. 1 Timothy 3 and verse 14. These things I write to thee, hoping to come to thee more quickly. But if I delay, in order that thou mayest know how one ought to conduct oneself in God's house, which is the assembly of the living God, the pillar and base of the truth. A simple thought as to the pillar in relation to the house of God. And the pillar particularly is a witness or a testimony. I believe this is the first reference in the scriptures to the house of God. And as we are aware, usually the first reference to a matter or subject usually provides the genesis of that matter. And so we see much in this section here that relates to the house of God, a subject that runs right through Scripture. As we know, we can trace it through as to the tabernacle and then the temple, the house of God, God's dwelling place on the earth. And then we come to the New Testament and we find that the house of God is no longer a physical structure, but it's made up of living stones, the assembly of the living God. So we know the history of Jacob here, in all his deceit and his schemings, and his mother's too. He's come to this place where he has to run away. And he sets off for Padan Aram to live with his uncle. And as the night comes on, he has to find himself somewhere to sleep. So this lonely traveller just lies down and takes a stone for a pillow, and the stars above him. And there he is, lying there, and God reveals himself to him in a dream. And he dreamed, and behold, a ladder was set up on the earth. Top of it reached to the heavens. Behold, angels of God ascended and descended upon it. So we have here a very interesting thought. We have the ladder set up on the earth. So the assembly or the house of God is a place on earth. It's a place on earth where God dwells. The house of God today is made up of all those alive today that belong to the Lord Jesus. Part of the assembly of God living upon the earth at the present time. That's what constitutes the house of God. Every one of us is part of that household. And it's set up on the earth, but the top of it reaches to heaven, and God is above it. It says Jehovah stood above it. It's the link between earth and heaven. And you see, and these angels ascending and descending up and down this ladder. So it's a picture to us, isn't it, of communications between earth and heaven. And Jacob saw all these things, and then God makes this wonderful promise, this unconditional promise to him, testimony to God's faithfulness and his grace as to how he would make much of Jacob's seed. Introduces himself as the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac. He's soon to become the God of Jacob, or the God of Israel too. At this point, it doesn't appear that Jacob had much knowledge of God. Perhaps he's a bit like Samuel. It says he didn't yet know Jehovah. He certainly knew about him anyway, and then he has this dream, and then he wakes up. And he says, surely Jehovah is in this place, and I knew it not. He was afraid. How dreadful is this place? And so he had some sense, didn't he, of what he was as a poor, sinful person. And he had a sense of the holiness of the presence of the one, of the holiness of the one in whose presence he'd found himself. The house of God, he says that he was afraid. How dreadful is this place? Seemed to dawn upon him, you know, what he was in himself, and yet a sense of how God was holy. It says in the Psalms, doesn't it, holiness belongs to thy house. So the presence of God is somewhere where God's holiness and his perfections will shine out. So we have here, he says, how dreadful is this place. And then it says, Jacob rose early in the morning. He took the stone that he had made his pillow and set it up for a pillar. He sets this pillar up upon the earth. And so there was set up there a testimony, a witness to the fact that God had a testimony upon earth at this time. And this pillar is to represent it. Very suggestive, it says that he took the pillar and he stood it up, and then he poured oil on the top of it. And very suggestive to us, isn't it, of the house of God today. House of God today, as we've said, made up of living stones. It was formed at Pentecost when the Holy Spirit descended upon that company of 120 in the upper room. So this is very suggestive, isn't it, in this pouring of the oil upon the stone of what was to be set up in relation to God's testimony on the earth. And so he called the name of that place Bethel, or House of God. But when we come to the New Testament, we find Paul writing to Timothy in relation to the house of God. He's setting out the conditions that are to be found in God's house. And he says to him, if I delay, in order that thou mayest know how one ought to conduct oneself in God's house. As we know, in the move on to the second epistle of Timothy, we find that it's no longer God's house, but it's a great house. But here, it's God's house. One ought to conduct oneself in God's house, which is the assembly of the living God. So the church today is the vessel of testimony for God upon the earth. And it's the assembly of the living God. That testimony is a testimony that's to be rendered in life. We have to do with a living God. And so we have here that the house of God, God's house, which is the assembly of the living God. As we said, it was set up there when the Holy Spirit descended upon that company there and established God's house upon the earth. And so it says, which is the assembly of the living God, the pillar and base of the truth. So the church today, the assembly today, as on earth, is to be found here as the testimony or the witness to God. And it's his place, his vessel of testimony upon the earth at the present time. And so in this epistle, we know that Paul is setting things out as they should be. And so the assembly is to be the pillar and base of the truth. Come to the next epistle, as we've said, and we find there that the house of God has become a great house. It doesn't have God's name attached to it. And that's really the days that we're living in the present day. But the witness, the public witness of the church, is one of failure. As we know, how sad it is. But the challenge, I think, would come to us that, as we see what he says here, how one ought to conduct oneself in God's house, the pillar and base of the truth. So we're setting forth God's testimony here. The church is to be the vessel of testimony, as I've said. It's the truth has been vouchsafed, if you like, to the church. And we're here to set forth the truth as it is in Jesus. And it's a challenge to us as to this, because as we've said, the public testimony abroad is one of failure, and anything but the truth is upheld. Our responsibility, as well as our privilege in the present day, is to conduct oneself in God's house in a manner that is suitable to God's house, so that we should be setting forth the truth as it is in Jesus. And so he says here, the assembly of God, the pillar, the witness, and the base of the truth. So the pillar, as I said, sets forth the witness of the truth as it's to be seen in the church, and indeed the basis upon it, the base of the truth. That company, as we've said, was set up at Pentecost. Those 12 apostles, the church is built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. The prophets which pointed to Jesus and who that glorious person is. And the apostles were those that had witnessed who Jesus was as he walked here, and crucially were a witness to his resurrection. And so we see here the church today is to be the pillar and base of the truth. What's a challenge to us as to whether we are walking in the light of this and setting forth the truth as it is in Jesus. That's our responsibility, and it's our privilege that we might be a light in this dark scene for the Lord Jesus. May it be so, for his name's sake.